This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. An unprecedented number of Ohioans are filing for unemployment benefits after their jobs were lost or halted by the global pandemic. But the wait times for assistance and frustrations are mounting. The Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services is scaling up to meet the need. I spoke on Friday with that department's director. Here is our pre-recorded interview. Kimberly Hall is the director of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, the ODJFS. That is a $3.3 billion agency with about 2,300 employees. Director Hall, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me today.
If you could, just give us an idea of what your agency is dealing with in this unemployment response.
Yes, we are essentially dealing with an economic event that was triggered by our public health response. The public health event related to the pandemic and the social distancing that we need to undertake to be sure to save lives did trigger some economic reverberations all across the nation. And so what we're experiencing here within JFS, we are responsible for our statewide unemployment compensation system. And so what we are experiencing is unprecedented, tremendous call volume, tremendous claim filing volume that occurred again and really has not let up. Over the last 3 weeks, our system received nearly 700,000 initial unemployment claims. For the week ending April 4, we reported 226,000 initial jobless claims. That's the second straight week since March 15th that we have seen more than 100,000 new files. This far exceeds where we were in all of 2019. So our system is dealing with that challenge. We have an all-hands-on-deck approach and really looking at how we can rapidly scale up from a technological standpoint and a manpower standpoint in our call centers.
So what is the experience for those who are calling? Is there a long wait time? Is there an urging to use the online access instead of calling? Or are they both backed up right now?
The online platform still remains the best and fastest, most streamlined option. And we are urging individuals who are unfortunately experiencing this challenge. Every single claim is important to us. So we're urging individuals to utilize our online system to the greatest degree possible. And actually, over 90% of the claims are being filed online, which is a wonderful thing. Of course, there are people who need to engage on the phone, maybe don't have the technology and need to call. And so that is still generating, we'll have questions around the claim that they have filed online. And so that is generating the tremendous call volume. Wait times are not what we would like them to be. They are a continued challenge for us. And so that is why we are undertaking right now revamping our website so that we have FAQs that are much more intuitive and clear for people to understand that could answer questions without having the need to pick up the phone. And we are continuing to scale the call center day over day. We are now at over 1,000 employees right now on the call center. We went from 42 people to 1,000 over this period of time. So very rapid scale up. We're working on that challenge with the call center and the wait time, but online still remains the best option.
Did you just say that you went from 42 employees that would answer calls to 1,000?
That's correct.
And are these folks who are having to be trained in this line of work for the first time, or where do you find them?
So we have been able to leverage existing ODJFS employees. So we have taken our unemployment office as call center component and then also processing component, the hearings component in terms of staff. And so we literally moved all of the staff who were previously not exclusively assigned to the call center into the call center space. So we have unemployment experts that are on the line. They didn't need additional training. They were already deeply engaged. So we moved them into taking calls. Then we are training other JFS employees and then employees from other state agencies on 101 level of unemployment issue so that they can answer the most foundational level of questions and handle our PIN number reset option, which the more individuals that we have that can get their PINs reset, we're pushing them then and enabling them to take advantage of the self-service options that are online so that they don't need to call. So we have combined the expertise of all unemployment staff, pulled them off, and they are focusing primarily on taking calls and then secondarily on some of the other functions. Then we have other state employees who are managing the more entry-level questions. And then we know over time we're going to need to also develop almost like a 201 level of training for individuals that are coming on who can answer deeper questions as time moves forward.
How long is your agency looking down the road here in terms of this type of response from people in need?
We're looking, honestly, all the way into 2021. We know there will be downstream impacts there. We had very low unemployment prior to this, and what remains to be seen is how quickly employers will scale entirely back up once the stay-at-home orders have been lifted, and how quickly then employees can get back to work, and then who will remain in need of ongoing employment benefits into deeper into summer, into fall, et cetera. So definitely are planning for a longer range strategy, hoping not to need to lean on it too heavily, but we absolutely need to be thinking about those kinds of longer term scenarios.
We're talking now with Kimberly Hall. She is the director of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, the ODJFS. And Director Hall, where are all these employees working from? Are they being trained quickly on this and then working from home in some capacity, or are they in a state facility?
Yes, they are all at home. We spent a good amount of time early as we were shifting in response to Director Acton's orders. We spent a good amount of time for how we get the technology with the call center application, the online application, in a mobile space that we could deploy out to the staff that were needing to work from home. We are very much trying to adhere as close as possible to the social distancing efforts and guidelines. And so all of these individuals that are manning the call center, that are working on our online application, et cetera, are doing that from home.
Well, let's talk about the people who are calling in. And as you noted, there's hundreds of thousands of them looking for unemployment insurance benefits. How long are these folks waiting to see some of that money hit their bank accounts?
So our processing times are anywhere between 7 to 8 days. And so we know that depending on the complexity of particular claims and whether or not an individual has selected direct deposit or to receive paper checks, et cetera, those can impact the time to which benefits would be received. So all of the benefits would be backdated regardless to the first date of eligible unemployment. And so while there may be an initial delay in getting payments to flow, once those payments flow, that routine continues forward, and we are backdating to the initial date of unemployment.
And Dr. Hall, we just cut out a little bit when you were saying how many days. I think you said 7 to some other number. How many days are you talking about?
7 to 21.
7 to 21 days for a response for people to receive. What's the response been from people? I mean, is 3 weeks too long for a lot of people to be able to wait?
Absolutely. And we are putting all of our hands on deck, most diligent efforts to shorten those times. There, as I indicated, depending on the complexity of the claim and how much engagement we need to do with a particular individual, it may take that long as we get additional documentation, et cetera. For those who have everything in order and it is a much more streamlined process, so issues with Social Security number matching, et cetera, that those will be on the earlier, the front end of receiving benefits at a faster pace.
So it sounds like the better option for workers seeking these benefits is to apply online to avoid long wait times on the phone. What type of documentation should these folks have in their possession to make that even easier?
Yes. So when an individual engages in the with the online system, having Social Security information, certainly, having driver's license, understanding all information for dependents that are in the home, et cetera. We have all of those requirements available online for people to see before they engage and file so that they have all of their documentation in order before filing.
What can you tell us about the technology that your office uses and perhaps the need for an upgrade in that respect?
We were in the midst of an upgrade, a new system implementation. That process launched in 2019. We were in phase one of that, and the impact of the pandemic has certainly slowed that aspect down. We are looking at a 16-year-old system right now. That's what we're working with, and that's what we are bolstering, working to bolster day over day in terms of increasing capacity. We already knew that the system needed to be sunset. It was tied to our network, or it is tied to our network, and it needs to be transitioned to the cloud. That process was underway when our pandemic crisis set upon us. And so we need to certainly bolster the current system, and we'll return back to the system upgrade when we have that opportunity.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. I'm joined on the phone by Kimberly Hall. She is the director of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. Let me ask about the way that this system is now working as it's adapted in the age of this pandemic. What types of people are eligible for unemployment benefits now who may not have been eligible previously?
Order of the governor in mid-March did expand eligibility categories for those who could now draw down regular unemployment benefits. So, for example, individuals who were sent home from their employer as a result of a need to quarantine, or if the employer shut down because of the order from Dr. Acton in terms of whether or not a business is essential or not. Or if an individual is caring for a family member who has a COVID-19-related illness. Those are all categories that previously an individual could not claim for unemployment benefits.
So in addition to dealing with the high volume of calls that are coming in and people seeking these benefits, you're also dealing with changing rules. And who knows if they evolve even further down the road. How has your agency handled that transition in the midst of a transition in the midst of a transition?
It really has added layers of complexity. Our team, though, I couldn't be more proud of the team and the way they are stepping up. We have individuals with expertise who have come out of retirement to assist. We are leveraging across all of our different offices from a project management perspective and hands-on expertise to help us understand all of these multiple layers of policy changes that are coming from the federal level. Our Washington, D.C. office has been tremendously helpful to us in this space as well. The governor opened up a D.C. office early on in his administration, and that has proven to be a tremendously wise decision because now we have that connection at the federal level, and the team there is able to interface very closely with us, get questions about policy answered in a rapid way, and then that gets deployed down into our agency.
We spoke earlier with representatives from the Ohio District Office, the Columbus District Office of the Small Business Administration, and we were asking specifically about unemployment versus some of the other federal loans that are being made available. And it sounds like people who may be considered independent contractors would qualify for unemployment, but would also qualify for some of these federal loans that are available, but might be in a situation where they have to choose one or the other. What type of perspective can you help us understand for that type of employee who's looking for an option?
So you're referencing under the CARE Act, there was a carve out of eligibility new level of eligibility established for those who are self-employed, and we are examining now all of the requirements at the federal level that would need to apply to that program. We know that they will be eligible and that funding will flow from the federal level into states to support that. And so understanding those intersections between drawing down the unemployment versus the small business loan, et cetera, all of those questions are being raised up from the states into the federal level for more guidance. But we are in the process now at JFS of examining the requirements for the new system, examining potential vendors to help us roll out that system. And our goal is to be able to begin issuing benefits to those who are self-employed and some of the other new categories that were established by mid-May.
Director Hall, your state, Ohio, is not the only one that's facing this situation. We're hearing from governors and people who share your role in a variety of states that the systems are just not equipped to handle this situation as it stands now. What types of conversations are you having, if at all, with counterparts in other states?
We are highly engaged as a state with our sister states all across the nation. Ohio, much as you're seeing in terms of our pandemic response, is very much a leader among states in our engagement with the Department of Labor. There was just a call, for example, on yesterday with a number of states to share ideas, to share projects that are underway to be responsive and how they are deploying solutions. So we stay very connected. Ohio is uniquely positioned compared to other states as well in terms of our size. We know that responses vary depending on the pressures on the system. So it really is beneficial to have that opportunity to hear what other states are doing. And the Department of Labor does a wonderful job of ensuring that all the states come together frequently during this time to hear and bounce ideas off of one another.
Kimberly Hall is director of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. Director Hall, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Some of the jobs lost to the pandemic are those at barbershops and hair salons. We talk with three local stylists about the impact to their industry and what the rest of us should be doing to keep our looks healthy and happy as best we can. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.